Appreciate the Lord's blessing to me. I'm thankful to be at Myrtle again. Enjoyed being here as always. And like Brother Marshall was saying, I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord too.
Amen.
That's the number one component. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. I desire your prayers this morning. I have a little burden to share. I'll write the title on the board. So I've written on the board two words, humble yourself. And those are two words that, depending on the situation and the context of the conversation, there are times that we don't like to hear that. No doubt we've all been in situations like that. And maybe a disagreement over something. No one's angry, but maybe disagreeing about something. And you know, being adamant about it, and someone will just make the comment, you just need to humble yourself. Sometimes that's not easy to take. But the key is that second word, humble yourself. In other words, that means we personally are taking action to humble ourselves. Because I'll say it this way, life has a way of humbling you yourself. It will humble yourself, whether it's someone else or circumstances, and you'll be humiliated. And God also has a way of dealing with us and bringing us, humbling us down when we need it. And I'm thankful for that too.
Amen.
But you know, an interesting observation, I've heard someone say it this way, talking about humility and pride. It's interesting how that when a person is full of pride, they don't see it. When someone's humble, they don't see it either. Isn't that interesting? But the fact of the matter is, none of us really see ourselves for who we really are. Only God is the one that can look into our hearts and know our motives and know the condition of our hearts. We can say things, we can do things, but yet within, we can be a different person, you see. But humbling yourself, that is, I believe there is some practical applications for that and some spiritual applications. So my burden this morning is to touch on both of those. And I know it's already been mentioned before, but I'll say it again. We have several young people here this morning. But this is not just for the young people. This is for all of us. Because quite frankly, not only is personal experience, but it's easy when as a person grows older, you get more confident. And that's natural. And you know, that's a good thing. But there comes a point when you're overconfident in yourself, you lose your humble spirit. And God has a way of helping us with that too. So I have a few scriptures to read, and then I have some stories to share. So I want to start with Matthew 21. And this is, I'm not going to read the parable for sake of time, but in Matthew, the 21st chapter, it's the parable of the wicked husbandman. And the end of the story is, they were given charge to watch over the vineyard. And when the servants were sent to look it over, they were killed, abused. And so he thought, well, I'll send my son. Surely they'll hear him. And they took his son and they killed him too. And then Jesus, what he's doing here, he's speaking to the Jews in particular. And it's again a parable here. And they question him, what is the meaning of this? Well, in the end, he was referring to how the Jews were going to treat himself, the Son of God. And towards the last, this is a scripture I want to read here. In verse 44, it says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, life has a way. When a person refuses to humble themselves before the Lord, and refuses to humble themselves in particular situations where they need to, where we need to, that life has a way, and God has a way In His mercy, He will deal with folks. He'll provide opportunities to make things right, to humble down. But yet when a person continues to refuse that, it says here, God will grind them to powder. And you know the sad thing that happened to the Jews? This was fulfilled. The very thing that God sent His Son, Jesus, to the Jews, and the majority of them rejected Him. And they were broken. They lost a lot of things. But that wasn't the end. They continued even after Jesus came and He left. And the church was established. Eventually, Jerusalem was destroyed. It was destroyed. Utterly destroyed. From within and later from without. It didn't have to be that way. But you know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the week of the Passover, right before He was crucified, He wept over Jerusalem. Because He knew the condition of their heart. They weren't humbling themselves. Most of them refused to accept the gospel as He presented it. And they ultimately rejected Him. And they killed Him, just like the parable was told. But you know, there are, you think about the Jews, and you look down through history, and how many times they have been abused and displaced. Millions of them. But you know what? In this day and time, they said, "Let His blood be upon us and our children." And you know what? It was so. And God has continued to grind them to powder. Albeit, I know there's some that have believed. Okay, I'm not saying 100%. But the majority of them have rejected the truth and the gospel as Jesus, the Son of God, the prophesied Messiah. But you know the same thing, Lord help us, that we apply this to our own lives. Amen. You think of Jerusalem. You know, it's I think of another city. But they actually humbled themselves. And you could say this is perhaps a tale of two cities. And I'm not referring to the book, the historical novel from the 1800s. That was a story about London and Paris. But we're talking about Nineveh and Jerusalem. Remember when Jonah went to Nineveh? And at first, God, He was going to destroy the city. But you know what? When the king, when he got the word, the message from Jonah, from God, and he humbled himself and they called a fast. And they prayed, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon us." God spared that city. They humbled themselves. God didn't have to humble them. They humbled themselves. They took the initiative. And God spared them. But Jerusalem, it was a different story. They chose not to humble them. And thankfully, through the Holy Spirit, God inspired those, the true believers. They left Jerusalem before it was destroyed. That was God's mercy. But you see, though those believers, they chose to humble themselves. Therefore, God spared them. He didn't grind them to powder. I want to read a few more scriptures in Luke, the 14th chapter. I'll lay a little more foundation here. Luke 14 and verse 11. It says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So here again, we have an option. We've heard about it in this meeting already. We have a free will. We can choose. We can choose to humble ourselves, and God will exalt us. But it says, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased." Abased simply means to be humiliated, to be brought low. I don't think any of us would choose that to be our life story. To be ground to powder. To be brought low by the Lord. And to stay in that condition. Another one in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. It says here, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now I want to focus just for a moment here. The first part of the scripture says, likewise, ye younger. You know, there's a reason why the scriptures teach that children are to be obedient to their parents. There's a reason. It's not only that they get along well in life as a child, but it's to teach them how to respond to God. It's to teach them how to submit and to humble down before God as they get to the age of accountability. They have to learn at a young age to submit and to obey. And you know, this world is full of millions of children, which is sad to say, that have not learned the simple truth of obedience to their parents. And the other sad fact is there's many homes that don't even have one or sometimes no parents. And they're raised by someone else. And they miss out on that valuable lesson of humbling themselves and submitting to an elder, someone older than them, and learning humility. It prepares us, as I said, to humble down before God. It prepares us, in turn, eventually, that God will exalt us. In other words, not setting us up on a pedestal, but it's exalting us in victory and power in our personal lives, that we don't have to succumb to the ways of sin. God can raise us above that and raise us above ourselves. So I have a few more stories to share. One in particular, remember the story of King Saul and King David. You could say this is a tale of two kings. King Saul, he started out amazing with great power and authority, and the other cities and nations feared them. But you realize over time, King Saul became lifted up in himself. And even when he was warned by the prophet, he still tried to put the blame, but the people chose to do such and such. Didn't take the personal responsibility for his own actions. He was the king. He had the authority to make things happen. But you see, over time, he allowed himself to be exalted within himself.
That's right.
He did not humble himself before the Lord and before the prophets. And you know, the end of his story was he was ground to powder. And the sad thing was it didn't have to be.
That's right.
And he spent many years chasing after the next anointed king, King David. And you know, it's a stark contrast between these two kings. Because King David started out in a lowly state. And he stayed in that lowly state for years. He ran for his life, though he was already anointed the next king. And yet he had opportunity to take the king Saul's life, that was his enemy at that time. And he chose twice not to take matters into his own hands. He humbled himself before the Lord. And in the end, he was exalted. David was not ground to powder, though in years later, yes, he had some failures. And he committed some sins to put a mark on his life. But you know what? He would come back to the Lord. And he would admit, he would take personal responsibility and say, "Oh Lord, let this sin be on me and not the people and these others." You know, that's true humility. And God takes note. When we truly humble down before him and in a situation, and God will take our side. You know, I look at it this way. The humility is simply allowing God the time and space to fight for us. You know, just like King David. King David allowed God in his own time and his own way to take out King Saul. Though no doubt if he would have, because let me tell you something. King David was well capable physically and with his own men to take care of himself and to take care of his enemies. But he chose rather to let God work. He submitted himself to the Lord. Yes. And the Lord had a way of preserving him and protecting him and leading him ultimately to the throne.
Yes.
And exalted him. I have a few other stories. And this is some practical life experiences. I have a tale of two bosses that I've worked for in my life. I've worked for several, but two in particular I want to speak of. The first one was rather challenging. Started out kind of he was a senior boss. And the first 6 months I worked for this company, I was 18 years old and I was rather young and easily intimidated. I lacked a lot of confidence in some things. But I had some encounters with the senior boss. And he had a way of really intimidating, especially someone young like me. He was older, of course, and he had children my age and maybe a little older. And he was a big man, tall, had a loud voice, kind of the intimidating factors there. And he would come up behind me sometimes in our office there. There was three of us in one office. And he would come up behind my chair, and I don't know if it was intentional, but kind of bump my chair with his belly looking at my work that I was doing on the computer, the CAD work, and basically criticize it. Like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Or I could, and I'm thinking, well, I went to school for this. I think I know how to draw. I wasn't saying this. I was thinking it in my mind. And he continued to criticize, like, well, that's not a good way of doing that. And, we could do it better this way and such and such. And it wasn't so much the design, the engineering. It was the true CAD skills that he was criticizing. I didn't say anything, just let it go on. But, I watched. And as time went on, the months went on, he had that type of attitude towards everyone. And it climaxed one day. He would go in a weekly meeting. And he was, of course, the engineering manager. And he would blow up and get irate when things didn't go his way. I wasn't in the meetings, but I would hear about them later. And this went on for weeks and months. And he was warned by the owner of the company, Tom, don't be doing this. This is not the time and place to do this. This is not professional. And warned him time and time again. And finally, one Monday morning, I walk into the office and his chair is empty. And I asked the other fellow that came in, he's like, well, where's Tom? He's like, oh, is he not hurt? No. He was fired Friday. I'm like, really? Ultimately, he blew up one last time. And the owner of the company sitting across the table from him said, Tom, you're out of here. I've warned you too many times. I've given you opportunity. But he chose rather to be ground to powder, essentially. He lost his job. And the sad part of this, I found out later, some were talking about him when he was gone. And they said, really, they were saddened because they knew of a prior job he had. And I believe it was a similar, I don't know that he was fired. I think he left just because things didn't go his way. But some folks actually knew his background and how he was raised. And he was an only child, which I have nothing against that. But he was babied and pampered and never told no. Some folks knew him. And when I heard that, I thought, how sad.
Yeah.
He could have been a different man.
Yes.
He could have been mightily used and promoted even beyond where he was at. It was amazing he got to that position to begin with. But you think about that in life. And how many times we all have opportunities to humble ourselves.
Yes.
But if we choose to persevere, no, I want it my way. You better watch out.
That's right.
If you continue that mindset. And my caution again is, I want to start out with the young people this morning, because you are younger and you have a long life ahead of you. And I don't want it to turn out like this next story I want to share. It's a tale of two fathers. And these are individuals that I know. One of these started out living for the Lord. They got married, had children, had a job, career. Everything seemed to be going well, but there were some warning signs that you could detect and you could see throughout the years. And I wondered, and I questioned, not them, but the Lord. And in my own mind, like, something's not right here. And it was a repetitive type of thing where this man would hardly ever admit the wrong. Whatever the case was, whether it was something with his wife or his children or other co-workers or other folks. And it was just, oh, but they, and well, you know, it was never, ah, you know, maybe I could do better here. There wasn't that humility of heart. And through the years, I've watched where, little by little, they lost a job here. Ultimately, lost his wife, his children, his home. He lost it all. The things that we count as valuable in our everyday lives. And even his experience with the Lord has been up and down. But the concern is, it's as if we've watched him get ground to powder slowly. And you think, oh Lord, is there something? But you know, we all have our own soul. We're all held accountable for our own souls. I can't, oh yeah, we can humiliate one another, but we can't bring a humility of heart in one another. I can't change your mind. I can't change your thoughts, your ideas, your ways. The Lord can. But God has a way when we reject Him and we reject His truth. Time and time again, it'll grind us to powder. It doesn't have to be that way.
That's right.
And I want to contrast this with another father that they did the opposite. And I watched them, and they would humble down and ask forgiveness, their wife, and children, and even publicly confess some things, and they'll try again, you know, and they make the improvements, and they change, and then you look at their home, and the children are happy and contented, and the wife, and their job, it's going well, and their home, and it's like the Lord is just blessing them. I'm thinking, what's the difference here? He humbled himself.
That's right.
And it wasn't just a one-time event. You know, that's something we have to work at. Again, it's an attitude of heart. It's a mindset. We can't walk around with our... And here's the challenging thing. Again, words and actions can sometimes fool people. But you can't fool God. You know, I've watched people basically on a job. I've watched them promote themselves. They will sell themselves falsely, saying, oh, I can do this and I can do that and I can do this better than so-and-so. And it's like, oh, wow. And all of a sudden, they're in this position. I'm like, how'd that happen? You know what? In time, you leave those things to the Lord. When we start tampering with those things, be careful. But when in those type of situations, you humble yourself before the Lord. The Lord has a way of taking care of those things that are out of our control anyway. And you know, I've seen those same individuals. It wasn't long till they were gone. Either they didn't really like the position and they wanted something else, or they just left, or they're let go. When they were self-promoted, they exalted themselves. But dear ones, I've seen the others that got in there and they just worked hard. They submitted to what their bosses had to say and what their recommendations and maybe the reproofs and the corrections, and they accepted, oh yeah, we can do that. And what else do you want? You know, and before long, they were promoted and promoted. I'm like, wow. And then when they finally get that position, it's like, I respect that.
Yes.
And you know what? Everyone else respected them too. Because they didn't walk around with the big stick. If you could say they earned that. But it was through humility, you see. And they were exalted in that position. I have another story. A tale of two young men. Teenagers. And one in particular, I'm thinking of, took the hard route. And I remember having conversations with him. And he had early on had a desire to live for the Lord. I was tender towards the Lord. But there was something. And again, it's only in interacting with folks over time, you learn them and how they react to other advice that maybe a father would give, or maybe a teacher, or someone in authority. And I remember a comment he made one time. Again, we were teenagers. And the comment he made was, you know, I want to learn these things for myself. And what he was referring to was, he was given some advice by his father. And he didn't like it. He didn't take heed. He didn't listen to it. He's like, and he told me in a private conversation, he's like, I'm not going to do it. He's like, I want to learn this my own way. You know, he's learned his own way, all right? Because now, as life has gone on, he lost out with the Lord. He battled with some things we would talk about. He had the natural challenges of a teenager. Being a young man and influences, we both went to a public school. But over the course of time, I watched him continue to drift further and further. And it wasn't one of those things where he got married and had children and settled down, had a job and did the normal things. It was as if everything was kind of done in reverse and jumbled up. And then I remember that conversation. Said, no, I want to learn my own way. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I thought, yes, you've learned your own way, all right? And it's sad. It didn't have to be that way. Because never was he willing, I say, for the most part, willing to take reproof or correction as a young man. When he needed it. And if he wasn't going to learn from his father or others, teachers, how was he ever going to learn that from God?
Yeah, that's true.
And now, he's lost everything too. Everything. He's got ground to powder. And you look at that and you think, it didn't have to be. Yes, maybe he had some disadvantages. You know, all of us have had disadvantages.
Right.
Some maybe more than others. But the fact of the matter is, there are some that have had hidden disadvantages that maybe no one else has known about. But the Lord. And then, maybe the parents. But the point is, we all have the same opportunity to humble ourselves, not only to our parents, our guardians, our teachers, our bosses, but to humble ourselves before the Lord, that we may be exalted, not in a high and lofty position, but exalted in a level of victory, in a level of personal accomplishments in the Lord. We can look back and look at those Ebenezer stones and realize, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. That I remember a time when maybe I was hard-headed and proud and stiff-necked, and I realized I was beginning to be broken and started the grinding process. But I realized that's not what I wanted.
Right.
You know, David, King David, he started down that path a couple times, but he quickly would humble himself, say, oh, no, wait, Lord, no. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, would you help me? And you know what? The Lord can't turn that down. And the Lord helped King David. But with that young man, there was another young man that I've watched. And he had some disadvantages too. But when we choose to submit ourselves to a higher power, it starts with the Lord. But it's also in our everyday walk of life. You know, it's hard to admit we're wrong. It's hard to admit that we're stubborn. It's hard to admit that we may be hard-headed about something. And maybe we have to be reminded over and over and over. But you know, God is, He's a merciful God. He knows our hearts. And He knows the desires of our hearts. You know, I want to speak to the young people again this morning. You're soon going to be leaving these grounds, going back to everyday life, school, jobs, whatever it may be. I want you to remember this fact, that God has a way of preserving you and fighting for you in ways perhaps you haven't even experienced yet. But the key is that you humble yourself before the Lord. And yes, there may be times God may allow a boss like I had at 18 years old. But you know, that taught me a lesson. Several things. It taught me that there's no reason for me to retaliate. And to fuss back at, well, I didn't want to lose my job. But just take it. Commit it to the Lord. Allow God to work.
Yes.
And He has a way of taking care of His children. Because later in life, the Lord gave me another boss. I didn't tell this story. It was a tale of two bosses. Well, the other boss I got later in life was at a critical time in my life. And this boss was so different. There were times maybe he was reprimanded for something himself. And he would even admit it to us in our engineering meetings. He's like, yeah, they told me we need to do this and this. He's like, you know, I think they're right. We need to do this. And just a total different spirit about him. And then even the way he treated us, it was with respect. Not demanding and not, you know, with a big stick. He was considerate. Respectful. And you know what? He was promoted. Because people learned, they had confidence and they trusted him. Like, he takes care of us. He's concerned about it. He wants to help us. And he was promoted. He wasn't fired. But you know, through those experiences, and I no doubt we all can share experiences like that, but I've learned that when you have maybe someone that mistreats you, it teaches you two things. Number one, you don't want to be like them. When you grow up or when you get older or when you have that opportunity, like, nope, I'm not going to be like that. But number two, it gives you an appreciation for those when it could turn sour and it doesn't, and the Lord blesses. And you think back and say, you know, I'm thankful it didn't turn out like that, like such and such. The Lord had mercy. And we're appreciative to the Lord. But again, life sometimes happens. And it's not all a bed of roses. But I want to tell you what. There is a key. When you get low enough before the Lord, and you allow Him to fight for you, like King David did, He has a way of lifting you up with victory in your soul. You may not have that position or whatever. That's not the point I'm talking about here this morning. But it's a position of victory. And it's with a clear conscience you can have before the Lord. You can lay in your bed at night and go to sleep knowing God has it all under control. And I've submitted myself to the Lord. I've consecrated this situation and that situation and my desires and my ambitions over here. And it doesn't seem to be working out. But Lord, You know, as Job said, He knoweth the way that I take. And sometimes when we go through those difficult times, let's not forget that the all-seeing, all-omniscient, omnipotent God is above us, watching over us, guiding, working, orchestrating things in our lives to lead us to Him. And you know, there is no greater satisfaction than to receive the acceptance of the Lord. And to receive the blessings of the Lord upon your life. To know that you've done the best that you can. And that you've humbled yourself before the Lord. And you've committed your life before the Lord. Yes, maybe your failures, maybe your shortcomings and the weaknesses that you have, but you submit them to the Lord. And the Lord then is able to do something with those. And He's able to work with those things and to teach us and to give us counsel and advice and instruction. And yes, some of the commandments of the Bible, that we may obey those things and to realize that those are for our protection. And that those are for our to give us direction in life and to build up our confidence in the Lord. Yeah. That way, let me read some scriptures here in closing. Because there's more to this. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter again, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." That doesn't mean immediately. As soon as you submit something to the Lord and you humble yourself before the Lord, that He didn't say immediately you're going to be delivered and exalted. He's not saying that. In due time. That means allow God to work. Give Him time and space. But it goes on here. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That means a divine trust and confidence in the Lord. The Lord, you are well able to take care of me. Though it doesn't make sense, the things that have happened perhaps in our lives, and maybe it feels like we've been taken advantage of, in whatever situation or circumstance, let us cast those cares upon the Lord. Let us submit to the higher power and realize that He is well able and capable of taking care of us. And you know, there is something about when a person is 100% sold out to the Lord and submitted to Him and His will. And yes, we are free moral agents to do what we choose. But when we choose life and we choose the Lord, we in turn are being... It's as if the Lord, He then chooses to put His blessings upon us. And to lift us to a high and lofty position, spiritually speaking, of victory. And yes, of honor, but in turn, we give the glory back to God. But the point is where, as I mentioned earlier about the father, the tale of the two fathers. And I watched this father that has committed his life to the Lord, the service of the Lord, and the contentment of his family and the children. And you know, that's a beautiful picture. And you think about that. The world needs more of that. There are so many examples of the other side. Let us go home and desire, Lord, I want Your blessings upon my life. And how do we receive the blessings of the Lord? How to receive His tender care? It is by humbling ourselves. It is by taking our own initiative, saying, Lord, teach me to wait. Lord, teach me to be patient. Lord, teach me to submit to Your will here. Lord, teach me to say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And please forgive me. That type of attitude, that type of mindset. I want to tell you what, dear ones. God can do a lot with that. And with some of the little stories I've shared this morning, perhaps this will be a blessing and a challenge to us all. That we realize we don't want to be ground to powder. We want the blessings of the Lord upon our life. We want to live a happy and contented life. And it is possible. We see Him around us. And I'm thankful again for a setting like this. We're surrounded with the positive influences. But dear ones, when you go back home, let's not forget the things we've heard in this meeting. Amen. Allowing God to work freely in our lives. And that only comes by submitting and humbling ourselves before the Lord. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to Him.